clicking on donate. That's KBOO.FM. Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned now for KBOO News In Depth. Good night, Natasha.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, Matthew.
Good night.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Grassroots activists all throughout the region are working against houselessness, but there is one organization looking at it from a different perspective. It's called Living Stages. Tamara Lynn with Living Stages and Terry Light with Right to Survive spoke with KBOO's Lisa Loving about how Living Stages can impact communities. Find out more about their work at www.livingstages.org.
Living Stages is a theater organization here in Portland, and we use theater as a form of community engagement, empowerment, and collective action.
And you have something happening very soon.
Well, right now we're working on a project, and we're working on a number of projects. We have a partnership with Right to Survive that we can talk about today. It's called Home is Where the Heart Is. We've been creating theater about the experience of being houseless, and then inviting audience members and neighborhood associations to step into the action and try to change the course of the play.
All right. And so I would like to hear a little bit about Right to Dreams piece of this.
Actually, there was a project between Right to Survive and Living Stages, and there's sometimes a lot of confusion between Right to Survive and Right to Dream 2.
Let us know what's going on there.
Mostly because Right to Survive is a parent to Right to Dream 2, and you know how those go with the parent-child relationships. But there are a lot of people for Right to Dream 2. We're actors in our play for Home is Where the Heart Is. So, and Right to Survive is a direct action group really helping to educate the houseless on their human rights and their legal rights to help protect them from being bullied by a lot of the forces out on the streets. We contend that everybody has a right to survive. And so we're not housed people, houseless, and allies working together.
All right. So talk a little bit more about where did Living Stages start? Why did you decide to do this?
That's a great question. So Living Stages emerged out of about 15 years of community work that I started in 1999. And I kind of stumbled into the WTO protest back in 99 and was so inspired and transformed by all of the art and cultural work that it really it helped me reconnect to theater, which I'd done as a child. And I learned about Theater of the Oppressed. And Theater of the Oppressed is a form of theater from Brazil, founded by a man named Augusto Boal. And it's really the idea of it is that you break down the idea of audience and actor, that we all have capacity to act. We all have capacity not just to act on the stage, but in real life. We can participate in society. So I began doing that work around 2000. And then in 2010, just realized that we needed an organization, that we wanted to not just do a one-time performance or a one-time workshop, but we want to be able to work with communities over time and see how this work really impacts communities and transforms the people involved and builds capacity to transform society.
All right. And so who comes to see the performances?
You know, it depends on the performance. With Home is Where the Heart Is, which is our partnership with Right to Survive, we performed at Pitch a Tent. So the audience there was a lot of folks that were houseless. So we had folks that were houseless step in, try different things to advocate for themselves. Earlier this week, we performed in partnership with Rose City Park Neighborhood Association, and we had received funding from Central Northeast Neighbors to make that happen. And so that was a neighborhood association where people were not at all familiar familiar with the experience themselves of being houseless, but they stepped in to try to advocate as neighbors, as people that were concerned about this issue, to see what they could do to sort of bridge this gap of experience and create some kind of change. So it really depends. We perform a lot of different places, and we try to engage different communities depending on the project we're working on.
Who are some of the other organizations you've worked with over the years in this project, kind of project?
You know, one organization we're working with right now that we've also worked with in the past is Opal Bus Riders Unite. So currently we're working on a project called What is a Place? And that centers on 82nd and Division and the high-capacity transit project that TriMet and the city have been pushing for. So we're asking neighbors in that community questions about their experiences of housing and transit justice. So we're actually out on the street on 82nd and Division engaging people, and we will be creating out of those experiences a performance that will be presented at the Jade Night Market on August 27th. So that's what we're working towards with that project. Now, both Right to Survive and Opal Bus Riders Unite were part of a project last December called the Forum Theater Convergence. And so we were creating a weekend of performances on housing and transit justice. And each night, a different group presented a play about their experiences, and audiences were invited in to change the course of the action and really kind of expand the dialogue and what we collectively think we can do to make change.
I want to follow up on the concept of Augusto Boal Theater of the Oppressed, because I feel as if there's a lot of people who have heard of Augusto Boal's work, but there's a lot of people who have not. And there are many people that have moved to our area just in the past 5 minutes, seriously, the past 5 minutes. So can you help walk through how the concept of Theater of the Oppressed is translating into empowerment for people around the housing crisis and other aspects? Is that okay? Is that a big question?
I find Augusto Boal's work really, really helpful. He was partly inspired by the indigenous people of Brazil up at the mountains. And a lot of indigenous people, as I understand it, there's a lot of power in storytelling. There's a lot of power in movement and act and creativity. We've done a lot of different kinds of actions at Right to Dream 2, as protests and going to City Hall, bringing up a newsletter, doing an action like Right to Dream 2, where people are actually being empowered by helping themselves and each other get off the streets and be safe. And very, very simple needs like just safe sleep. What I find really empowered with Theater of the Oppressed work is the people who are experiencing oppression work and create the play itself. And that goes up on stage, and we engage people who are in different parts of that story about what's going on, and ask people to, instead of talk about it, get up there and act out a solution. And that, to me, is really, really empowering people, because we're not just engaging our minds, we're engaging our whole body. And we need people's feet on the ground to make change. And I think we also need everybody's creativity. In the practice of the actors, there's a lot of exercise in there that helps people use both sides of their brain to be creative, to improvise. And that's kind of scary sometimes when you get on the street. You really have to develop a really super defensive kind of process of just making sure you get their daily needs met that day and you stay out of trouble. And that creates a really strong defensive shell and fear, lots of fear. And then creativity is the opposite of fear. And, you know, I really, really am glad that this partnership is happening. I've gone through a little bit more training in jokering and some of the other skills of helping other people become more creative and loosen up and play. And that's been really helpful for me.
Here's a very specific question. Are there certain scenes that perhaps will land in this play that you feel as if the outside world ignores all the time? Is that a weird question? Can I just ask you that?
No, it's not. The first time we did with the Convergence, we did an actual sweep being done by security. And there was one audience person who asked, does that really happen? And so that was a really important piece of like exposure for houseless people to tell their story about how they're being bullied by security and people who are keeping the streets clean for tourists and businesses. So it was a really important story and enlightening for me to have that participation across with an audience.
Okay. If I remember my Brazilian and cultural history, I think Augusto Boal was maybe from the 60s or 70s, before we had this nutty social media roller coaster that we have now. When you do the work that you're doing, which is about art, culture, and social change, will you incorporate social media? Are you videotaping the performances? Are you pushing them out? What's up with that?
Yes, we are doing more and more of that. So we are trying to videotape our performances. We are trying to put them on Facebook. So we do have a Facebook account. We are doing the project What is a Place? We actually developed an Instagram account for the first time. So we are starting to use more and more social media. It is really important to reach a wider range of people than we would normally reach.
Yeah, and that's the same with Right to Survive. We actually have a really coordinated media team going on. So.
It does make me wonder about taking that concept from Augusto Boal. I keep ringing that bell, but actually his work pops up all over the world in places I've been, and it never ceases to amaze me, right? Including Portland, which we're really a small town. We think that we're all that, but we're not, sort of. But it does make me wonder how the modern age will put a different spin on his ideas. And I mean, I wonder if you can... Let me back up a second and say, in all this work that you're doing, what specific goals do you have? And I think you probably have maybe even two separate goals. So talk about your goals.
Yeah. Well, with Living Stages, one of the long-term hopes is that we're building capacity within different organizations and within different communities. So we're not just a group that runs around and does these theater performances, but that we're actually building the capacity for a network of theater organization, theater projects happening. So one of the exciting things that Boal did back in, I think, the 80s is legislative theater. And so he was accidentally elected to city council. It's a long story, but he ran thinking they would just try to raise publicity, but accidentally got elected and found himself a politician. And he said, well, I don't really want to be a politician. What am I supposed to do? And the theater said, hey, why don't you develop these theater troupes across Rio? And so he developed 13 or possibly more, I can't remember, theater troupes within marginalized communities so that they could not just create the plays and perform them for each other and themselves, but actually impact legislation. He had a lawyer writing those suggestions and proposals that came out of that into law. And so there have been other experiments with this after Boal. So there's a group called Theater of the Oppressed NYC that does legislative theater. There are other legislative type experiments where people are not just performing, but actually finding ways to impact policy with this change. So, I mean, that, I think there's lots of possible outcomes, but I think that's a very exciting possibility, building capacity to make that kind of change.
What you just said, I think, planted 1,000 seeds in 1,000 minds. But please, your take two.
I just had a creative thought in my head about using social media and do editing. And like maybe people can edit and do this theater of press online with the media. So anybody out there who does media, you know, how would we make that happen? And maybe it would be something like Wikipedia, you know, have a media film argument, you know, with being able to edit and make version 2, 3, 4, and 5 of a film of something. I don't know. That's out there. Anybody can take it.
All right. I need to wrap this up. So I'm going to ask, is there a timeline for your coming activity so people who are listening to us can participate?
One of the things we would love is if you're excited about this work and want to see it happen, we have a campaign called the Catalyst Campaign. So we have 2 more days of raising funds. Even small amounts make a difference. You can go to our website, which is livingstages.org and link to that. That's going to fund our fall programming. So just look forward to the fall. Get in touch with us and we'll keep you posted about what's scheduled. The one event we do have is August 27th at the Jade Night Market. We know we're going to be doing What is a Place at that point.
And also, if anybody's interested who's houseless, me and one of the other actresses is going to create some workshops over the summer just to do some play. And if we come up with some skits, we could probably just run it ourselves. We don't need a funding for that. Okay, that's it.
All right. I want to thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Lisa.
Lisa Loving, KBOO News.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival, the hallmark event for the Oregon Food Bank. This year, the festival will be held July 1st through 4th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. Everyone will need a pass this year to see such artists as Dr. John and the Night Trippers, Liv Warfield and the Special Horns, Curtis Salgado, and many more. More information about passes, the performers, the role of the Oregon Food Bank, and more can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2016.
Good people, stay tuned every second and fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. for Guess Who's Coming to Radio, a show with music and discussion, addressing socio-political issues relevant to African peoples in this nation. We encourage you to call in with some positive, proactive solutions to what we are facing today. Guess Who's Coming to Radio, every second and fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. on KBOO, your community radio.
The KBOO Evening News produces a one-hour newscast every weeknight. We need writers, editors, reporters, and more to make this grassroots community resource happen. Email Lisa Loving at newsdirector@kboo.org or call 503-231-8032, extension 203.